Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it's Cassandra Murray. Cassandra, you are the founder and CEO of Unlucky Umbrella Studio. Very memorable name. Your website is unluckyumbrella.com. We'll get into that and where that name came from. Cassandra, it's great to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Josh.
Before we talk about your superpowers, of course, I always love hearing what, you know, high-level leaders are into, kind of what they geek out on, or, you know, hobbies, interests, maybe entertainment that you might be into lately. What have you been into lately?
So I am a nerd in all senses that nerd is. I actually collect retro video games. So it's something me and my partner are like really big into. And specifically right now, we're trying to complete Legend of Zelda collection. My dad grew up playing it and he kind of got me into it. So like, I'm obsessed with the series as well. So we go to all sorts of like retro video game events and you will be surprised what old video games go for nowadays. Oh, no, there are some worth millions of dollars if you see them in the right place.
Wow. So for Zelda, does that mean you're starting with the original NES then?
Yeah. Actually, I have all of the mainline console games now. We just completed that portion of the collection. So now we're going through all the handheld versions of the games and we're doing boxes. So it has to be in box and then ideally we'll like upgrade. So some of the box conditions aren't the best, but eventually once we complete the collection, we're going to upgrade the box conditions. So we'll sell the ones we have. Yes.
And then, that's challenging to get the original boxes.
Yes. So,
yeah, mine is, I have my original Atari cartridges from the 80s. So Atari has been one because I was a little kid, but I was just so obsessed with Atari games. My two favorite games were Adventure and Pitfall. And thankfully, Atari came out. My old console's not very reliable. So thankfully, Atari finally came out with a retro console that uses the original cartridges and, you know, has like you can now buy.
I didn't know that they had one that uses the original cartridges. We actually have an Atari in the box. Like that's a part of our collection. It in the box, like Atari. We do have like, we have like a retro one, but it doesn't work, the re-release of it, but it doesn't work as well as like the actual console does.
I can't even imagine an Atari console in the box, like what that would cost. That's incredible.
I think we got it for a steal. We got it in like a small mom and pop shop, you know, down south. And they were just like, take it off our hands. Like, we don't want it anymore.
Okay. Happy to do so. Let me lighten your load.
Exactly.
Have you, so over COVID, my son and I, who's, my sons are like now in engineering and in college, but we built a MAME arcade console and we've got like 30,000 games on it. It's really cool what you could do with that. And you know, if you buy all the pieces yourself and you buy some of these kits or whatever, it's not that expensive, but it's so fun to invite friends over and like, okay, let's do all like the original like 80s, 90s arcade games and stuff. So, well, Cassandra, I can talk to you a long time about this. As you can tell, I'm equally not equally passionate, but I absolutely love the retro gaming scene. It's so fun and really cool people too that just, you know, are really big on this, like restoring and archiving this history, which is you know, part of so many of our you know, our upbringings. But Cassandra, let's talk about Unlucky Umbrella. What do you do?
So I am what I call a marketing and operations consultant. So I go into businesses and I not only look at ways to help them generate new leads, but to improve processes. So we don't just get the leads to your door. We walk them through the door. We create customers. Ideally, we create recurring business from that and referral programs from that. So we really look at the business holistically when it comes to the customer journey, not just the first part of the journey.
Well, why is that so important?
So I think a lot of marketing firms only focus on that first portion of it. And when they do that, they're really just talking about, well, we got you a bunch of leads, like because you're not converting it is not our problem. And I think that's where a lot of marketing firms fall short, is that marketing firms should be involved in the process of getting those leads to convert. And they rely heavily on each other. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and you could have the best customer service experience and the best product, but if nobody knows you exist, your marketing side, then it doesn't matter. And vice versa, right? Like you could tout that you have the best customer service experience and the best product, but if your operations doesn't walk the walk, your operations is failing your marketing then. So that's why I think both parts need to be working together cohesively.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what is working well, given what you just shared? What are some of the maybe actionable things that you typically see with a lot of business owners? You're like, yeah, a lot of people skip this, or a lot of people don't really focus here. Can you give us some examples of a lot of times when you begin working with a client, what are some of the biggest targets that may have not been emphasized previously?
So it's always processes, so SOPs, and they are, I would say, probably the least sexiest part about running a business. A lot of business owners, they understand the value of them, and a lot of them, like, I know that they're important, they just don't have time or whatever it is that's holding them back from getting into it. So what I've tried to encourage business owners to do is, one, find an employee to write your SOPs if you can, and make it more about progress over perfection. So a lot of times people are like, well, I don't have time in between doing stuff to write an SOP. And that's where I encourage them, write the SOP as you are in the process of doing whatever it is that you're doing. So documentation is a huge gap that I think a lot of businesses are missing right now to really improve that operations and in turn improve that customer experience.
Yeah. And I would imagine, Cassandra, that AI is a huge part of either what you are contending with, from what else might be out in the market, and hopefully improving and creating efficiencies in operations in particular.
AI honestly is, some people are advertising it as a replacement, but I think by the end of the day, it's going to end up being just a very useful tool for both marketing and the operations side. So on the marketing side, we were just talking before the interview how like you're being found via AI. So SEO is starting to kind of take a back seat to search engine, and AI is starting to take over search results. So you're seeing a lot of changes into AI optimization for your websites and things like that. And that's on the marketing side. And then on the business side, AI is being used for things like you have AI agents who are answering initial interactions with customers, or even some call agents. So you have AI call agents picking up phone calls for you, and that creates efficiencies within your business.
Yeah.
One thing that I think business owners need to keep in mind, though, is that these things still need to be built out. They still need to be trained, just like an employee needs to
Yes.
be trained, and making sure that you're not just implementing these things without taking that training into consideration.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have a few other warnings around where where AI can maybe be used in a way where, yeah, it's efficient, but I don't think your people are going to like it. Like, I think that, at the end of the day, nearly all business is human to human. And so we definitely don't want to miss that human touch. Where do you exercise caution in that regard?
I think a lot of it in that initial customer interaction, there's some horror stories out there. A couple of months ago, there was it was a car dealership or something. They had implemented like an AI chatbot on their website, and somebody had negotiated with the chatbot to give them a car for free. So
That's hilarious.
there are a lot of like pitfalls that can come with AI.
Oh.
So I think it's important that when you're building AI is to kind of come from it of like, okay, what can the AI do wrong? Or what, potentially could the AI do wrong? And let's build around that to make sure that a human jumps in before that, potential crisis happens essentially. And I know like I'm, a little bit older. We're all from like a generation of you call in the robocallers and you're just like, I just want a human. I just want to talk
Yeah.
to a person. That really impacts the customer experience. And in turn, that, is going to affect referral business and repeat business. So I think like AI customer facing, it should be way more cautiously implemented, but AI on the back end can be implemented a little bit more experimentally. So you can try to find ways to what I call like create quality of life improvements for your employees. So implementing things that make their jobs easier on the day to day.
Yeah. Cassandra, what would be an example of someone that you've worked with and kind of the before and after that maybe they were really struggling with something? And what I'm hoping is that you can maybe share again very tactically what you implemented and what those net results were as a result of that implementation. And particularly, what I'm thinking about, because it seems like your strong point is, it's like the operational support and systems behind the marketing, which again, I agree. I think a lot of people are just like, all right, what needs to get done? All right, let's go do it. And it's probably not real efficient. We're probably way overpaying for things like, maybe creative and all the scheduling and stuff. And I agree. I think that there's probably a lot of room to make this stuff just way more efficiency, bring down our operation costs, and just really increase the quality, the output, which then results in more sales and more
Yeah.
engagements, right?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually like I have an image and it's like an infinity loop is how I define the, marketing operations. But a really good story, this is my favorite story to tell, is I had a customer that came to me and they were like, we want to double like our marketing spend. And I said, but before we do that, let me get into your numbers and see what your marketing's actually doing for them. And when I got into it, I saw that they were spending about $40,000 on magazine advertisements, which was it was a highly targeted market. It was exactly the people they wanted to be in front of. And they had call data. So I started to listen to that call data and review that call data. And it turned out they weren't picking up 50% of their calls from that magazine ad.
Oof.
So I went back to them and I said, listen, we can spend, all the marketing budget until you're blue in the face, but if you don't pick up the calls, it's not going to make a difference. You're still going to feel like you're not getting enough leads. So what I spoke, well, after we talked, we realized we needed somebody to be able to pick up the phone for them 24/7. Now, obviously, hiring a full-time employee or multiple employees to do that isn't very cost-effective. So I started researching call centers for them. Specifically call centers in the United States because they wanted to make sure that they were, people in the United States picking up the phone for them. And I interviewed five different call centers. I found one that was an excellent fit for them. I helped implement the script for them. I worked with the call center to get everything set up. I did onboarding training with the employees who needed to interact with the call center. And then I continued to manage the call center. So I still manage that call center for them today. And this particular client, they went from a $1.6 million company to a $3.6 million company in a year. With,
Ooh.
and we feel that that one change made a huge impact on their ability to take on more leads and get more leads scheduled, more leads booked, and then more leads closed, essentially.
Well, awesome. All right. So, to our friend that's been listening to our conversation here, Cassandra, I don't know if you have any resources or kind of next steps, or like how you generally like to engage with folks online. And again, it may be appropriate that they might be ready for a conversation. You mind sharing maybe the what's next for them or what you'd recommend?
Yeah, so I do have a blog and I'm constantly updating that blog with useful and practical information that can be implemented on the daily. But if you're looking to kind of go a little bit deeper or you need someone to help with execution, you can go to our website and engage with us there by, filling out a form. And we do a 1 hour audit essentially. And those audits typically do come with action items. So you can either choose to do those action items yourself, or you can have us help you execute those action items.
All right. And now your website is unluckyumbrella.com. Cassandra Murray, again, you're the founder and CEO. Thank you so much for the great conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your Pod Verified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.